Or I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In the West Bank, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert are meeting today to discuss the resumption of U.S. brokered Middle East peace talks. It is the first time an Israeli Prime Minister has visited a Palestinian community in more than 7 years. In Camp David, Afghan President Hamid Karzai is wrapping up 2 days of discussions with President Bush. I told the press the U.S. is no closer to capturing chief terrorist Osama bin Laden than it was years ago. In Tal Afar, Iraq, a suicide bomber blew up his explosive-laden dump truck in a crowded Shia neighborhood today, killing as many as 30 and wounding another 50. More than half the victims were children. In Fort Campbell, Kentucky, a soldier convicted of raping and murdering a 14-year-old Iraqi girl last year was sentenced over the weekend to 110 years in prison. Three others in his squad are already serving prison terms for the premeditated attack. The soldiers raped the girl, then killed her and her family. Federal investigators say the Pentagon is unable to account for half of the weaponry allocated to Iraqi security forces in 2004 and 2005. Defense officials say their accounting office is understaffed, but concede some of the nearly 200,000 guns may have fallen into enemy hands. In Lebanon, the Syria-backed Christian Party narrowly edged out the Western-backed party in parliamentary elections today. Presidential elections are scheduled for next month. On Capitol Hill, the House Saturday approved a controversial energy package levying $16 billion in taxes on the oil industry. The measure also rewards companies for programs designed to provide alternative energy sources. In California, tough new regulations have been placed on some of the state's electronic voting equipment after a study revealed the machines are vulnerable to tampering. In fire-scorched Montana, the governor has declared a state of emergency. Wildfires continue to sweep across California and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. No deaths have been reported, but damages are estimated at more than $100 million. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
18 Californians, including doctors and pharmacists, have been indicted for running an illegal website selling prescription drugs. Federal investigators say the network sold drugs to customers without legitimate prescriptions. American Home Mortgage filed for bankruptcy today after having announced it will lay off 90% of its employees. The resignation yesterday of the chief of investment bank, Bear Stearns, is expected to affect Wall Street today. The bank is being hurt by mortgage credit problems. Chrysler announced it has selected its new boss, former Home Depot CEO Bob Nardelli. He'll supervise the Trouble Automaker's reconstruction plan, which includes elimination of more than 13,000 jobs in Canada and the U.S. Kellogg posted a 13% quarterly increase in profits and a 9% increase in sales. The world's largest cereal maker credited strong growth in both North American and European markets. Light sweet crude is trading at $74.09 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 63 points. The NASDAQ is up 16. The S&P 500 is up 7. Gold is trading at $683.60 an ounce. Silver, $13.10 an ounce. There's more at our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Speaking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Okay, I'm there, guys, in the chat room. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Crying out loud, we've got to put up with this stuff all the time. Professional radio, ladies and gentlemen. I put the cable in, you know, and this is, you know, and by the way, welcome back, John Fox, and I'm glad you're back, And it's wonderful you're back, but the problem is that, you know, because John isn't there, or because John is doing his show, You know, normally what'll happen is, you know, if John's not on, or when I was the first guy on, Bob would call me up 15 minutes beforehand, and we'd sit there and talk. And it's also a good opportunity to make sure all the audio is working and stuff. Because, you know, sometimes I forget to turn off the mute switch, or I don't have my mixer turned on, or the thing isn't hooked up. What happened here is that I plugged the cable into the microphone, and the cable was not working. So I had to pull out another cable and connect it up to the mixer there. So my apologies for that. I don't know what... This is professional radio, ladies and gentlemen. Professional radio. Oh, well, I'm glad to be back at any rate. I spent the weekend over at Ecos, and I got to be sure I pronounce that because it's not Yearly Kos, it's Yearly Kos. And I've got some very good audio from that, some interviews that I have that I haven't had a chance to throw into the mixer and edit for the show yet, but I'll do that in the next few days. I will be playing clips of some of the interviews, and I've got some interviews with some very, very good people, including former Nixon counsel John Dean on what's going on in the country, and I've got some union members, and I've got some of the regular attendees too, and I even talked to Marcos himself. So that as soon as I get all that stuff mixed, I was out with Texas Betsy, our good friend News Ninja Texas Betsy from the chat room and from the Head On Network, and we had a great time today. She came up to my neighborhood actually, and we had dinner at a very, very nice kosher restaurant, and I'll be talking about that a little more. Before I do that though, before I get into what happened at Yearly Kos there, did I just hear right on the Quality News Network about how I forget his name already, but the guy who ran Home Depot into the ground and was basically kicked out for it just got a job as CEO of what, Chrysler? What the hell? You see, and it just goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, it just goes to show that no matter how much an executive screws up, they will never, never lack for high-paying work. And what is this guy going to make? Several hundred millions of dollars in the next coming years now? And for doing what? Cutting jobs? Is that all CEOs do nowadays? They come in, hey, we're going to pay you $10 million so you can fire people. How about that? Meanwhile, the people who get fired, you know, they can't make their rent and they can't make their bills. And even a lot of times while they're working, they can barely make their rent and make their bills. I can speak from personal experience to that. And here you got a guy, and you're going to pay him. You know, the amount of money you're paying this guy, you can keep all those working people on and keep your company active. And you know the reason why they do that, because they cut all the jobs and they don't have to pay the salaries. So they're saying, see, we're cutting costs, and that's good for the shareholders. And the shareholders look good, and they make a lot of money. And that's really all they care about. It's a shareholder society. And what do they care about the people who have been working at the people who worked at Home Depot who got laid off? And what did they say they were going to lay off? About 13,000 people? You know, I haven't done the math in my head yet, but I figure you can, for the amount of salary they're going to pay this guy, they could keep those 13,000 people on for at least a couple of years at a decent wage. That's my good friend Bruce Lewis, who is my nemesis on my blog, likes to point out, you could replace the average executive with a jar of mayonnaise, and a lot of people wouldn't really know the difference. And that's the truth. I have never known what a CEO does, what a corporate executive of any stripe does, except sit around and go, harumph, harumph, harumph. And they just don't understand. And I was remembering, I was talking to a very nice lady over at Yearly Kos last night as I was dropping Betsy off at her hotel. And I was talking to her about the situation, and she supervised salespeople. And she was always trying to explain to her supervisors, her superiors, about the importance of keeping their people happy and not just exploiting them and using them, which is what a lot of CEOs do. And she laid it out to them very simply. We're going to lose these people, and if you lose this person, this person, and this person, this person, it's going to cost the company about $1.5 million next year. Okay, well, Bob Kincaid is telling me that Chrysler is owned by Cerberus, and Cerberus is a private equity firm with no public stockholders. So who are they saving the money for is what I want to know. Why are they paying these guys millions of dollars to cut 13,000 jobs for no real reason? Are sales that bad at Chrysler? Or are they just too stupid to figure out, you know, that maybe either times need to change as far as how they make their automobiles? And why do you need a guy to pay $100 million? Yeah, it's a tax write-off. That's probably what it is. It's a tax write-off. You know, keep the company down to a certain point, and that way you can just declare everything on taxes. Okay, look, it was a shortened thing because of the little technical glitch at the beginning. If you want to give me a call, you can give me a call. I'm going to be talking about yearly costs mainly. But I've got other things to go on to. Give me a call if you want. 1-304-658-5453 or the toll-free number 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before a political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here are some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cover Joe Radio Show. Once again, every not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker and anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the numbers to call in, 1-304-658-5453, 1-304-658-5453, or 1-877-443-2366. And you can call and talk to me about any subject. I'm always open to talk to people, as long as it's a discussion. And not a, you know, if you're a right-winger and you want to call in, just be sure if you start dishing out just your stupid talking points, I'm gonna have you cut off. Because this is conversation radio. We don't do stupid stuff here. You see what I'm saying? I don't do stupid stuff. Unless it's my stupid stuff. Only I can be stupid on my show. You understand that? You got that? You got that through your head? At any rate, now for those of you who are not familiar with the Iuli Coast Convention, is the convention that was put together in honor of Marcos Matsoulis, I think I pronounced that correctly, of the Daily Coast Convention. And for those of you who are not aware of the Daily Coast, and you really, and if you're listening to the show, the odds are you probably are. But just on that off chance that you have, you're not familiar with it, it was a blog started by this guy that was a community blog where anybody could post a diary and people can make comments to it, blah blah blah, and it just kind of blossomed into this huge fundraising apparatus that's really helped out the Democratic Party. If you're wondering why, a big reason why the Democrats won Congress last time around, it was mainly because of the help that they got from the bloggers who are involved with those community, and that's a very, very important thing. But I want to thank, before I start to talk about that, I want to thank Bob Kincaid, of course, here from the Head On Network, and the convention organizers at Iuli Coast for getting me the badge and allowing me to attend this convention as a media person. I couldn't afford to go as a regular attendee, to be quite honest. It was like a $200 membership. And as those of you know, I am not exactly what you would call ruling in the money right now. So it really wouldn't have been possible for me to go as a regular attendee. But I did get to attend, and I did get to talk to some people. And again, I'm going to have that audio up as soon as I possibly can. And I do want to be clear about something, because I do have some problems with the Daily Coast community. In the sense that whenever I write a post, because I do have a diary there under the name of Cup of Joe, whenever I write a post about something, there's always some idiot or a group of idiots who got to come in there and point out some irrelevant item or just find some reason to trash it to make themselves look good. And then they expect you to hang around for 5 or 6 hours to argue with these meatballs. And I'm like, no, you know, I just don't do it. Okay? I just don't do it. But even with the problems that I have with them, they've been doing a great job as far as organizing, you know, being politically active and not just talking. A lot of the people who are on the Daily Coast are activists and are actively working, either in campaigns, indirectly or directly, and it just goes to show how important they are. That every major Democratic candidate for president, Senator Edwards, Senator Obama, Senator Clinton, General Clark was there. All of the major candidates for president were there. And they had to respect what the bloggers did for the Democratic Party and recognize the power that they have to change elections, to put elections in the winning bracket for Democrats. Not that that's necessarily a good thing. I was very upset to find out about what the cave-in that the Democratic leadership had towards the president's spying bill. Basically, he just strong-armed them into supporting laws that would just make it easier for him to declare anybody an enemy combatant and arrest them. Hell, the FBI can come into this house right now while I'm doing this show and arrest me, and I could be thrown away in a jail with no warrant, no due process. They could probably throw me in Gitmo right now if they wanted to. if I was any kind of a real threat. And that's the only reason they won't, you know, come here to me. Why bother with a small fry like me? You know? But they caved in. In fact, the Speaker Pelosi, Majority Leader Harry Reid, Senator Harry Reid, were scheduled to be there in an early morning session, but they were delayed because of the Republican obstructionism on this vote, and they finally did capitulate. And the reason why they capitulated is because some of these people are still listening to their idiotic consultants who are telling them that they have to look strong by capitulating to the president. That's how they look strong, by capitulating. Isn't that wonderful? Now, unfortunately, I wasn't there for some of the events I really wanted to go to, the presidential candidate panel, for one in particular. That's because I had to work. Because I couldn't get out of work over the weekend. I couldn't get out of work Thursday. I couldn't get out of work Friday. I didn't manage to get out of work Friday, but only because I was so exhausted from having been awake for like 36 hours that I was in no condition to work anyway. So what I did was I made a deal with them to work on Saturday, which I didn't want to do, but I wound up working on Saturday till around 3 o'clock. So I wound up missing a bunch of stuff, which really, you know, it really, really pissed me off. But, you know, what choice do I have? You know, I really wanted to cover this, to talk to more people, to get more involved, and to make some more contacts, and hopefully improve my lot in life. But I had to go and stuff papers into a scanner for $9.63 an hour. Isn't that useless? $60. $60 was all that was worth. But, I did take in some panels. I did take in some very good panels. In fact, one panel I enjoyed in particular, despite how tired I was listening to it, was what it means to be a progressive in a global economy, which was a very good panel about global economics, and it featured Austin Goolsbee, who is a professor of economics at the University of Chicago Graduate School of Business, Gene Sperling, the Senior Fellow for Economic Policy on the Council of Foreign Relations and a former economic advisor to President Clinton, and Thea Lee, who was the Chief Economist for the AFL-CIO. Now, even though for me, just thinking about macroeconomic, international, global policy, whatever, tends to give me a headache, I found the discussion rather invigorating and, surprisingly, within my capacity to understand, because I'm kind of like, if you remember the old Saturday Night Live sketch with Chevy Chase doing Gerald Ford, and they were doing presidential debates, and the questioner, quote unquote, asked him a question about the budget, and Gerald, you know, Chevy Chase goes into my, says, before we began this, I was led to believe that you know math, you know, but the conversation, the discussion there was very, very good, and it talked about, you know, globalization and how that affects labor markets, and you know, what can we do as progressives to make that better. And Mr. Sperling rankled me from the beginning because he used the term that I probably hate the most when people talked about that, and the term is productivity. Productivity. I hate that term, ladies and gentlemen. I hate that term. Because what productivity means to me as a working guy is that I have to work harder to make less money. It's just like with Mr. Home Depot CEO who ran his company into the ground and then gets hired for another $150 million, $200 million job at Chrysler for the purpose of cutting jobs. And all the people who were left behind at Chrysler have to work harder because those people aren't there. But their productivity is up. And Mr. Sperling was going on and on and on about how American productivity was this and that and that and this. Yeah, it's all wonderful. Where's our share of it? Where's our share of the goods? General strike, ladies and gentlemen. Let's shut this country down for an entire month. We'll show them a thing or two about productivity. We'll show them that you can't make a penny without us. I had a rather interesting conversation with people concerning this issue. And, of course, my attitude is, you know, I'm fairly militant. You guys know me. What do I like to say? I got a baseball bat with so many names on it, I had to get another bat. Okay? And you guys know how I feel about, you know, let's do the general strike thing and let's shut some of these companies. Some of these companies just should be shut down. I think, quite frankly, I think we ought to storm every Walmart, loot everything, and burn them all to the ground. That's what I frankly think. Yes, I know it's illegal. Stop. Oh, it's illegal activity. You're a meanie. Burn them to the ground, man. Because they are probably the most evil company in the world. Maybe Halliburton is more evil. Probably. But they're very, very close. What was it, that Carlyle Group? That's not really a company, though. Hey, it's the bottom of the hour. We've got the WINS News coming up. And I'm going to talk more about this issue and about stuff at the convention. We'll have the WINS News, and then we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The U.S. Air Force is deciding between a French company and Boeing to supply new aerial refueling tankers, and thousands of U.S. jobs hang in the balance. Doug Cunningham reports.
The $40 billion contract means critical support for 44,000 U.S. jobs, according to Dr. Gabriela Limas, Executive Director of the Labor Council for Latin American Advancement.
We're talking about jobs. The difference is something to the extent of 44,000 versus 1,000. And EADS, which is the French company, has partnered with Northrop Grumman, which gives them a certain amount of cover in the United States. But they're talking about possibly 1,000 jobs, I believe only in the state of Alabama, versus 44,000 jobs that would be shared throughout different states.
There are also serious questions about $100 million in alleged illegal trade subsidies being used by the French firm as it competes for this huge U.S. defense contract. Dr. Limas says giving the contract to the French company is essentially outsourcing U.S. defense needs.
It's healthy to have competition, but I think it's also really critical that they take into account that we need to keep really good jobs at home, and especially these kinds of jobs that are critical not only to the economy but to the national security of the nation.
On the wings of rampant absenteeism at Northwest Airlines, pilots have approved a new contract that calls for overtime and a $1,000 bonus for perfect attendance through September 3rd. If pilots fly more than 80 hours a month, they'll receive overtime pay of 50%. A concessionary contract approved when Northwest was under bankruptcy protection called for a monthly limit of 90 flight hours a month instead of the previous 80 hours per month. Throughout June and July, the airline suffered an unusual number of missed shifts by pilots. The Airline Pilots Association attributed the increase in absenteeism to fatigue resulting from the change in flight hours. The airline plans to hire as many as 350 pilots in coming months to help relieve the burden. Cerberus Capital Management officially took over the controlling stake in Chrysler on Friday. What does it mean for workers? The automaker currently has roughly $18 billion in long-term retiree health care costs. Cerberus has said it will take on most of that cost. According to the Federal Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, Daimler has agreed to pay $1 billion into Chrysler's pension plan, as long as it is terminated in the next 5 years, and Chrysler will contribute an additional $200 million beyond requirements. Chrysler will become a private company with this announcement, and Cerberus plans to revive the iconic 5-star Chrysler logo. South Africa is in the midst of a massive fuel shortage as petroleum workers enter day 7 of a countrywide strike. Workers represented by the Chemical and Energy Union are demanding a wage increase of 9.5%, while management is offering 8%. The association that monitors fuel supplies in South Africa says the country has plenty of reserves, but the shortage is due to interruptions in distribution.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Thanks once again to Wins News for providing such a wonderful audio for us there. They do a great job. And, of course, Quality News Network does a great job providing audio for us as well. How's everybody doing today? My name is Joe Vecchio, and I am the host of this crappy show. No, it's not a crappy show. I am the host of this show. The number to call in if you want to talk to me, 1-304-658-5453, 1-304-658-5453, or, of course, a toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. And I was talking about the Daily Coast Convention, the yearly Coast Convention, I say. By the way, they're changing the name next year to Netroots Nation. I don't know why, you know, and I told someone, I said, you know, that's really kind of an ill-conceived move, because they already have a brand name now. They're Yearly Coast, and Yearly Coast is. And, you know, now they're going to say, well, it's Netroots Nation, what's that? So I'm a little concerned that that they messed up in a big way there. Just keep the name. You know, it doesn't matter that it doesn't necessarily match what you're doing, what you've done before, but you got to keep the name so people keep it remembered. You know, because then you don't, you know, you confuse people. Well, it's Yearly Coast. Well, they're Netroots Nation. It's like New Coke, you know. Don't do it. Just don't do it. But it's too late. And they're talking about maybe going to New Orleans next time around. And I'm like, stay in Chicago, I said. Stay in Chicago. They said, why? I said, well, because it makes it easier for me. I can be a selfish bastard. What can I, what else? You know, what can I say? Again, I got a lot of audio, and I can't wait to get at it. I didn't get a chance to edit it yesterday because I was hanging out with Betsy for a while, and then, you know, by the time I got back home, it was like midnight, and I was like, But that one panel I was talking about, and I talked to about the panel on global economics, and you know me, I'm for workers all over the world. Okay, I want workers, my brothers and sisters in Mexico, in China, in Vietnam, in the Middle East, everywhere. As far as I'm concerned, working people have no nation, and they are equally exploited in different ways by their own governments. Yes, America has had a better history of labor gains, but all that is being slowly lost. You know, the old adage about putting the frog in the pot cold and turning the heat up and you know, slowly boiling it, as opposed to just throwing them in there. And we're seeing a very, very slow but sure regression in labor gains. And really a major way to stop that is to have global unions so that we have the kind of representation and the kind of rights all over the world. I mean, look, if someone wants to pack up and move their company, say if GM wants to move put a plant in Europe because it's cheaper for them to build a plant in Europe and build the cars there and sell them to Europeans in that fashion. Hey, I'm all for it. I think that, you know, that's sound business. But what I don't want them to do is shut down a plant like Ford and Chrysler and others have been doing, and GM is to go to a place just because you don't have to pay workers very much. You don't have to help provide them with health insurance. And you don't have to worry about dumping poison in the air or poison in the water. You can just do it. Because the governments don't care, because the people in charge get money. And a few people get jobs that, while they wouldn't be a lot to us, they'd be more money than they've ever made. And it's hard to get someone to believe in something when their salary, and this is, I forget who said this, but when their salary depends on them not believing it. When their livelihood depends on them not believing it. And unfortunately, the worst part of it is that we are our own worst enemy, especially here in this country, and especially in certain parts of the country, where it's all about, well, you gotta have the work ethic, and you gotta go out there and earn your way, and meanwhile, they vote for the politicians, and they support businessmen who never earn their way, and who, when they screw up, just get rewarded for it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all the ships at sea, if you or I, on your job, screwed up as badly as this guy screwed up Home Depot, not only would we have a lot of difficulties, we would be lucky not to get fired, but when we did get fired, we would be very, very fortunate to get another job in that industry and try to have to explain to your next supervisor why you screwed up so badly. I wonder what that interview process was like with that CEO. Because you still have to interview him. You still have to talk to him. So I wonder what that interview prize. Well, you know, you really did this with Home Depot, and this was really kind of a bad thing, wasn't it? Well, you know, have a beer. Oh, well, have a beer. That's fine. So how do they make these determinations? And it's all, you know, they're all, you know, I guess they're all just a bunch of drinking buddies. It's people who are, you know, comfortable with each other, which is a much more important. And I've noticed that on the job, too. That people will hire someone based upon whether they're comfortable with them or not. That's a good reason why I've had some trouble with work, because I do make people uncomfortable around work. It just annoys me and upsets me, especially when I look at the way my life's been going, having lost a year of work to try to take care of my sick wife, struggling to make it up here, and really kind of just barely hanging on and not really making it at all, just kind of surviving. And I don't want to just survive, you know, and I'm not asking for a lot out of life, and a lot of us aren't, and we shouldn't have to. But because a lot of these people, they don't know how to stop going for stuff, because they're afraid that if they stop moving forward, they'll start falling backwards. Oh, I've got $400 million in the bank, but I'm not going to be happy until I get $800 million. Then when they get $800 million, I'm not going to be happy until I'm the richest person in the world. I can't be number two, because, you know, as soon as I'm number two, I'll be down there homeless in the streets and all. It's horrible. I got to go. You got to get it. If you don't get it now, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me. You got to get it more. It's fear. They're afraid. They're afraid of winding up like me. And they feel like if they don't steal from me, if they don't steal from you, if they don't steal from every worker, then they'll wind up just like you, having to go to the supermarket, having to pay for gas, having to pay for anything. And I keep remembering that scene, from the movie Casino, a great movie, where they talked about these rich, it was a Chinese guy, but, you know, executive scumbags, no matter what. I'm an equal opportunity abuser as far as that's concerned. But this is a guy who was worth millions and millions of dollars going into the hotel to play the casinos, and they were stealing towels, for Christ's sake. What the hell are they stealing towels for? But they do that. They expect stuff for free. The more money you make, the more they expect. And that's, you know, that's one of the ways that they get all that money, is because they don't spend it on anything. People give them stuff. And the Republican Party understands that when they give out money, when they dole out money left and right to these organizations, they're doing it in as an investment. The insurance companies, when President Clinton unveiled his health care plan, they spent tens of millions of dollars fighting it because they knew they'd get hundreds of million dollars in return if they won. And once they control the government, that they can pretty much do whatever they want, which is pretty much what we have now. It's fascism. It's corporatism. Which, for those of you who don't know, is what Mussolini said we ought to call fascism. We really should get all this stuff down, and there's going to be a test after the show. It's fascism. It's a purely American form of fascism. And, you know, we've had our Reichstag moment with 9/11. That was our Reichstag moment. I don't know if we're going to have a Kristallnacht. That may not be necessary. But it's fascism. And what's really fascist is me having to break for a commercial. That's the most fascist thing of all. I can't think of anything more evil and devious than that. Last chance to call in if you want to call in. 1-304-658-5453, 1-304-658-5453. The toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknight 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now. Yeah!
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay. And we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm just listening to the music. How's everybody doing? Okay, and our good friend Texas Betsy is still in town. She'll be in town today, and I might get with her after the show and do a little Chicago sightseeing if the weather permits. It looks like it may want to rain, but we'll see what happens. And you know, it was very interesting because I was. And you know, Betsy is handicapped. She is in a wheelchair. She can stand and walk for a few feet on. She's got crutches, or cane crutches. I hate that term. But we took the train. You know, we got a lift. There was a very nice lady who lives up here, gave us a lift from the hotel to because she lives up in this general area too. And so, and this place that Betsy went, because she's Orthodox and she has to have kosher meat. And this was a kosher restaurant, and a very, very good one, by the way, named Taboo, the Taboo Grill on California, just south of Devon. And at any rate, we're gonna take the bus and the train back down. Betsy wanted to do that, which was great. So we do that, and getting on the bus wasn't a problem. We were actually very fortunate to get some of the newer buses, because the newer buses have the wheelchair thing that just kind of flips over. It takes a lot less time, and it's much more comfortable for the person in the wheelchair instead of the old. For some of you who don't know, I don't want to get into it too much, but the other ways of doing it, and some of them aren't wheelchair accessible at all. The old ones aren't. But anyway, I was very shocked, and it's not something I think about, because, you know, I'm not handicapped, and it's just not something I have to deal with on a regular basis. But I didn't realize how few train stations in Chicago deal with this issue. Have wheelchair accessibility. No elevator or no ramp, no way of getting down to street level or getting up to street level. Only a very few of them. We got off at the Merchandise Mart, and we went into the Merchandise Mart to use the elevator to go down to the ground floor there, but they were all closed. It was like Sunday afternoon, but it's like, holy cow. And we wound up finally going to the library. And even at the library, you had to take one elevator to get down to the mid level, because you have the level where the trains are. Then you have a level underneath there where people enter the train. And then you have street level. So you had to take one elevator to get from the platform to the mezzanine, I think is what they call it, the second section, then go across the street, go across the way, and down, take a second elevator down to the floor. And it's so much more time-consuming to move around. You know what they could do? Just build a little ramp, you just go straight down, and then you can have wheelchair races. You get big enough so that you can have a two or three side-by-side, and you just go zooming right down into the street. Now, the new stations, they're building a lot of new stations. They're doing a lot of construction work on that. And eventually they're going to have it so that all of them are. The new ones are certainly wheelchair accessible. The Western train station on the Brown Line, where I usually go to work, that's elevator accessible, and that's great. But they need to do it on all the stations, because you have to go around and figure out, okay, can we get off here? And sometimes you have to get off somewhere a long way from where you need to go. Because we were at the Merchandise Mart, and the guy said, well, where's the next one? The guy said it was Clark and Lake. Actually, the next one was at the library. The Merchandise Mart is north of the river. If you want to do a map on Chicago, you'll see the river going through the main part of the city with all the George Bridges crossed. The Merchandise Mart is on the north part of the river. The only stop from there that has a handicap thing is on the library, which is on the South Loop. The Loop, for those of you not familiar with Chicago public transit system, the Loop is basically it's not circular, it's a square, but the trains go around a certain part of downtown, the rectangular area. And that's known as the Loop. It comes down from the Brown Line. It comes down straight north, goes around the Loop, then goes back north again. Okay. And let me see if I can remember the streets. Wells, Wabash on the right, Van Buren on the south, and Lake on the north. Those are the four streets that the Loop encompasses. And the library is on by State and Van Buren on the south end of the loop. The merchandise mart is north of the loop, actually, one stop north of the loop. Washington and Wells is the next stop there, the south. But if you wanted to go somewhere, not in the merchandise mart, but if you just wanted to go like around to the riverfront and just walk around the riverfront, you have to, and you're in a wheelchair, you have to go. You can't just get off at Merchandise Mart and go down, unless, you know, Merchandise Mart is open, in which case you can go inside the Merchandise Mart and take the elevator down. But if that's closed, you have to go all the way around. If you want to go by the river and get off near the river, you have to go all the way up to Clark and Lake, which is like just slightly south and a little bit east. In other words, it would be very close, maybe one more stop from the Merchandise Mart if it was done correctly. But you have to go essentially all around the loop in order to get off, so that you can get off and get off near the river. And if you wanted to go somewhere in between, you'd have to get off at the library station, which is on the south, and go quite a distance. And if you don't have an electric wheelchair, that can be really, really tiring to do. And needless to say, I was not happy, but of course, knowing me, I'll go into my I won't think about it mode again. Once I start taking the train, it's really, 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 very, very annoying. And I'm hopeful that they will take care. Now, you have to keep in mind, the Chicago rail system is very, very old. The L, the elevated line, is also known as the L, is very old. And back then, nobody thought about, you know, people in wheelchair. If you're in a wheelchair, oh my God, it's so horrible. And, you know, if you see pictures of those old wheelchairs, they're all big and bulky things. Now, a lot of them are much more streamlined. There's some of them that look extremely comfortable. I want to get one myself. You just roll around in an electric wheelchair. Run people's feet over. Get out of the way, I'm handicapped. I don't care. Yeah. Complaining about your feet getting run over, at least you got working feet, for crying out loud. I ought to stand up and punch you right in the mouth. And then you stand up and punch him in the mouth. What are you using a wheelchair for? I'm not handicapped, I'm just lazy. You got a problem with that? Being lazy is a handicap too, don't you know? Ooh, yeah, you good. But regardless, and you know, we wanted to do a little sightseeing around downtown, and the episode of doing that just kind of wore us out. The McCormick Center, where the Yuli Coast Convention is at, is on the south side of town, south towards, like, just south of Soldier Field, where the Chicago Bears play, actually. And she was staying at the Hyatt Regency there. And if you've never seen never been to the McCormick Center, I was only there once before to go to the auto show. And and even seeing the auto show, which is a big thing, and they have a very big room there for that, the McCormick place is absolutely friggin' huge. Absolutely friggin' huge. And the events were kind of spread out, and that was due to some problems with the hotel, the convention center, and some scheduling issues that were not the convention's fault. But you sometimes had to walk, I think, about a quarter mile. I mean, that's how big this place is to get to some of the panels. So hopefully next time around they'll have it in a place that's just a little bit more, what's the word? Little closer to each other. Hey, that looks like it's about it for the show here. I've still got some stuff to talk about. I'm probably going to be talking about the Yuli Coast all through the week, and I'm going to have those sound clips, of course. Hopefully I'll get that done tonight. Before I go to work, maybe I won't have to work tonight. Who knows? My work, it's like, you know, what really kind of pissed me off. So, oh, we're really busy. We need you. And they go in there and you work like, look, you work, and you get all the work done, and then there's nothing else for you to do when you get off for a couple of days. And it's like, what do you, you know, can't you stretch it out just a little? Tell the sales guys, you know, and so that we can take our time and not have to worry about, you know, oh my God, I got to get this done, Hurry up and wait, like in the military. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network. Our good friend Bob Kincaid, the great, wonderful Bob Kincaid, producing the show out of the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. America Back on Track with Tony Seaton follows on most of your Head On Radio Network, on all of your Head On Radio Network stations. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio with the Cup of Joe Radio Show saying, hey, 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 get back to work.
I'm on a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Oh, in a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. Every trick. Upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Shaw. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe. Yeah, da 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 da.
This is the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to the Horn. The Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. The delicate task of removing the twisted steel and broken concrete that used to be Minneapolis 35W Bridge spanning the Mississippi River has begun. Five people are confirmed dead from Wednesday's collapse and eight are confirmed missing. A final report on the cause of the disaster isn't expected for a year and a half. The Pentagon announced it had killed the Al-Qaeda terrorists responsible for two deadly attacks that destroyed the minarets straddling one of the Shia's most sacred mosques in Iraq. The insurgent was killed in an airstrike late last week east of Samarra. In Camp David, Afghan President Hamid Karzai is wrapping up 2 days of discussions with President Bush. Karzai told the press the U.S. is no closer to capturing chief terrorist Osama bin Laden than it was years ago. The Taliban announced today the fate of 21 captive South Koreans is in the hands of President Karzai and Bush. The militant spokesman also vowed to continue kidnapping foreigners. A new video is being aired on the web threatening to target the diplomats and embassies of the U.S. and its allies worldwide. The video was produced by one of America's top members of Al-Qaeda, now in hiding in the Middle East with a $1 million price tag on his head. In Iraq, a suicide bomber blew up his explosive-laden dump truck in a crowded Shia neighborhood today. He killed 28 people. Iraq's president yesterday engaged in intense negotiations to bring Sunni politicians back to parliament. Last week's Sunni walkout has seriously damaged attempts to unify the country. The Government Accountability Office says the Pentagon is unable to account for half of the weapons given to Iraqi security forces in 2004 and 2005. Defense officials say many of the nearly 190,000 assault rifles and pistols are being used against U.S. troops on the ground. Others have been found for sale on the black market in Baghdad. Yesterday, President Bush signed into